This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com. Wasting away again
in Margaritaville. Dave McNair joins me live in studio. He's a reporter at The Hook and has been covering the trash talking and the garbage wars now for quite some time. When did you start on this story? Over a year ago, right?
Oh, geez, yeah. I think, about more than a year ago.
Yeah. And but, you know, dummies like me have finally discovered it, like, oh my gosh, what's going on here?
Yeah, I wrote about it a long time before it got any traction, so.
Well, it definitely has traction now. And Dave, of course, he posted the latest update. It went up this weekend on The Hook blog at readthehook.com. Trash talking, RSWA breaks silence on lawsuit. Dave, what's going on? What's the latest?
Well, it's pretty simple. Ahead of a RSWA meeting tomorrow, Director Tom Frederick just issued a memo ahead of that that just defends the lawsuit and outlines sort of details of the lawsuit, which they've never done before.
It is interesting that now Tom Frederick is sort of playing a PR game and sending out memos ahead of big public meetings, which they've never really done before, have they? I mean, that's a new thing to court the media.
Yeah, no. In fact, this lawsuit was filed in December 2007. It's been going on for a long time, and during that whole period, they have said they didn't want to get into a public debate. They didn't want the case to be tried in the press, and so they've always maintained that they didn't want to comment. But now suddenly, that's changed.
A new strategy.
They're responding, I think, to to pressure from the public debate and public comments at the meeting. I think they're worried that their side of the story is not getting out.
Yeah, and of course, the lawsuit. Remind people what this lawsuit is. Who are they suing and why?
They're suing Peter Vanderland, who has been a home builder and owns a dumpster business for a very long time, and then about a year ago opened a big recycling center, a materials recovery facility, as it's called, or MRF, out in Zion Crossroads. And they're suing him they claim that he evaded paying fees to the RSWA when he had his dumpster business and brought his garbage and trash to an RSA-sponsored facility at Zion Crossroads.
And what are these fees for? That they're contending in their case that he didn't pay.
The fees, the challenge here is to try to make this simple. But basically,
well, I will say, and it is very confusing, but yeah. I will say that if folks really truly want to understand, your article that was posted this weekend at readthehook.com, I think this is the first time that I myself can say I really think I understand what's going on, and it's based on your article. This is one that sort of gives you the whole scope, A to Z, of what's happening, a little history, quotes from all the people involved. And I emailed you right after I saw it. I said, now I think I really have a grasp of what's going on. And I'm even more upset about it now because I can sort of see it's...
Yeah, I think it's a complex thing, and it's getting simpler to me, too. So it makes it easier for me to write about it.
But there was basically a tax. The RSWA, Tom Frederick's garbage board, whatever it is, they're also the water board, the same group of people. They had this tax, and they called it a fee, but it's really a tax that said, if you're bringing us garbage from Charlottesville and Albemarle, you have to pay a tax. You have to pay an extra fee to dump your garbage here.
Yeah, it was a creative way to fund the RSWA after the Ivy landfill closed. Because basically, when the Ivy landfill closed, they had no way of getting any revenue.
Yeah.
And so they came up with this idea where they would contract with BFI at the time, who owned this transfer station out at Zion Crossroads. They contracted with them to accept area trash. But every time area trash would go onto their scales, in addition to the BFI charge, there would be what they called a service contribution fee that would go to the RSWA.
Service contribution fee.
That was, they sort of openly, people openly acknowledged that, they didn't really actually do all that much for that. But it was like a way to keep the authority, to fund the authority, fund the public body. They needed to find a way to fund their services.
So if you're in Charlottesville, Albemarle, you're paying a double tax, basically. You're paying a tax twice because you're being taxed and your money is going to support the RSWA. And then when you go to throw out your garbage, they tax you again. If you live in Charlottesville, Albemarle, it goes
way,
to the
in
same
in a way,
people.
They more tax haulers because, you know, nobody...
Yeah, but that's passed on to the, right, the consumer.
Because
right.
The transfer station out in Zion Crossroads, just commercial haulers go there. You can't...
Yeah.
You don't go there.
But they're going to... Of course, they pass that on to the households who are trying to throw their garbage away. So right. They're suing Peter Vanderlinde because they're saying that he and his folks lied to him about where the garbage was coming from to avoid that extra tax, which I understand from your article, a lot of the haulers were doing that. Some of the haulers weren't even being charged or asked, where's the garbage coming from?
Right. It's a very difficult situation. I think, you know, what I figured out in this latest article was that the service contribution fee system in itself was flawed and problematic, which I think created the atmosphere for all of this to happen. Because basically, you know, BFI really didn't have much of an incentive to ask where the garbage from, and the haulers didn't have much of an incentive to tell them when they weren't asked. And so it created a really, you know, kind of a don't ask, don't tell sort of environment, because nobody liked this fee system.
Oh, the guys in the garbage business didn't like this anyway. Yeah.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, in fact... It's complicated because this fee system was arranged with BFI in an agreement in 1997, but the authority didn't find out until 2005 that they weren't enforcing this fee system. In fact, the managers at the transfer station were completely unaware of this fee system, and so the authority actually had to threaten legal action against BFI to start enforcing this in 2005, and so they did right away, and the haulers were freaked out because you can imagine all of a sudden you're paying, I think at the time, $46 per ton for your garbage, and suddenly it goes up $16 like overnight.
So the hauling fee for homeowners probably went up about the same time.
Well, that was up to what the haulers wanted to do, if they wanted to pass that on or eat it.
But this lawsuit is just against Peter Vanderlinde and no other haulers, right?
Yes, that's true.
He's being singled out.
That's true. It's
even
curious.
Though everybody that was involved sort of says, we were all doing this.
Well, another piece of, in the complaint in the lawsuit, it says there's a quote from a BFI manager that says they discovered that several haulers were not being honest. Which was kind of strange because when I saw that, because, I mean, several haulers are not being sued. I mean, just one hauler is being sued.
Yeah. The only one that's really threatening with his new garbage facility in Zion's Crossroads.
Yeah, it happens to be that way. But again, you know, the authority really insists that it has nothing to do with that, and it's just because of the evidence that they have that he was evading these fees.
Yeah, right. Amazing. Dave McNair is a reporter with The Hook. The article is posted now online at readthehook.com. It's Trash Talking. RSWA breaks silence on the lawsuit. So what's the meeting tomorrow? What do you know what they're going to be doing there, the RSWA?
It's hard to say. I mean, I don't think the last meeting that was another story where they discussed, you know, adopting a flow control ordinance, which they've backed away from for a planned new, they want to build a new transfer station out in Ivy at their Ivy location and have a private company build it. And they were going to work on a request for proposals for that. But in the current memo that Frederick has, they found that was a little complex and they don't have that ready.
So, let me ask you, Dave, about flow control. A lot of people made a big deal about the fact that Tom Frederick said, I'm not pursuing flow control, but he wouldn't pursue it anyway, would he? Because that's not wouldn't come from the RSWA. That would be a policy decision to come after the fact from the city and the county, right?
Oh yeah, the authority can just say, oh, we're going to do flow control. I mean, that would have to go through the whole political process.
So just because Tom Frederick says I'm not pursuing flow control doesn't mean the issue's dead.
No. It's legal to do, and they could if they wanted to adopt flow control to collect area garbage.
And didn't at that meeting, Judy Mueller said, look, if we privatize this facility, it's not going to be attractive to anybody unless we give them flow control, which is the legal monopoly that makes everybody take their garbage to this person.
Yeah, some people suggested that. And that's pretty clear because, I mean, think about it simply and logically. Like, if, you know, why would you bring your garbage? Why would a hauler or a private citizen bring their garbage to a transfer station in Ivy, where the garbage would have to be transferred to a materials recovery facility, when there's a materials recovery facility 20 miles down the road?
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
That's cheaper.
That's cheaper, too.
And where most of it gets recycled instead of just dumped and buried.
Exactly. It doesn't really make any sense. Like, if you were a businessman and looking at that, you would be puzzled.
And this is the very issue that the RSWA is looking at. These aren't dumb people. They're looking at this, and they're seeing this. I mean, they have to be able to see the fact that Pete Van der Linde built a bitter mousetrap, as I have said now for months, and has beat them at their own game. And yet it just blows my mind. And yet, instead of saying, hey, that's great. Boy, we're going to save the taxpayers a whole lot of money here. We can get out of the garbage business. They're doing everything but. They're spending, how much money are they spending suing this guy? Which is all public money. It's our money that they're using to sue this guy.
You can go look on the RSWA's site and see, you know, what they're spending. They spent, I think, another $83,000 on legal fees in September.
Just in the month of September?
Yeah. And they're running at an operating loss, too. I think it says in my article, I don't know the exact figures, but you know, they're running at a pretty severe operating loss.
Here it is. Meanwhile, the authority reports an operating loss of nearly $230,000 for the month of September, which follows an operating loss for July and August of almost $215,000.
That includes the fees, the legal fees, too.
Yeah.
So
this is mind-blowing. So they're taking public money and operating a quote-unquote garbage business that's losing hundreds of thousands of dollars a month, and yet then spending tens of thousands of dollars a month for lawyers to try to sue a guy who is basically standing there saying, please get out of the business. And let the private guys do it.
Yeah, there's all these funny ironies. Because he's basically, you know, taking over the trash business and making it work for himself. More or less doing what, you know, the authority is supposed to be doing.
Yeah. A private entrepreneur doing it better. Imagine that. And yet we have this government body, the RSWA, under Tom Frederick, also the same guy, the same folks who are doing all this water stuff, who are trying to sue him out of business. It blows my mind. Absolutely, it's just shocking, and that everybody.
They're digging their heels in. They really insist that Van der Linde, you know, willingly evaded paying these fees, and these fees are owed to the public, and they are going to, you know, continue with this lawsuit. In the memo that Tom Frederick had, he said this is a case about right and wrong, and they believe that Pete Van der Linde was wrong.
But they're not going after anybody else.
No, just him.
I sort of see it as like a guy gets caught going 5 miles over the speed limit, and they're going to sue that guy and no one else who ever went over 5 miles over the speed limit, just this one guy. Because I don't see it as a big deal.
Right.
You know? I mean, that extra tax thing shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Yeah, like I said, I think that was really problematic from the beginning, and that created an atmosphere for a lot of confusion and it just wasn't a very good system.
Yeah. So this meeting tomorrow, the RSWA has another meeting tomorrow. When and where?
I think it's at their, I'm not sure exactly when, but I know it's up on their Pantops location.
Yeah. Do people take public, do they take public comment at that thing?
They do. There's a section for public comment. I believe the public comment begins right away, like I think at 2:00 when they start. So
do people, I don't ever go to these meetings. Do people go to these meetings at these public comments and say, what are you doing with my money?
Lately, some people have. Ms. Frederick mentioned it in his memo that he was, in a sense, he was responding to some public comments from people, live public comments from the meeting.
I wouldn't be surprised if
he was also responding to radio hosts.
Yeah, well,
he made a point of saying that. He was responding to certain radio
hosts. Tom has been on this program before. I think he's one of the nicest guys in the world. Mm. But I don't agree with any of these decisions. I really don't. And what I wonder, too, is how many of these are his decisions or how many of these are coming from city and county staff or elected officials, and he's just implementing and running with
them. I think that may be the case, because one thing I've found is, while there's been people who are running for office who are criticizing this. Nobody that I've spoken to in office has said, has criticized what the authority is doing. I mean,
and the people that
would. Said they couldn't talk about it, and they have said they've supported it, but everyone who's all the elected officials in both governments are behind what the authority is doing.
Yeah, and that's an important point. And the people that would comment the most are David Brown from the city and Ken Boyd from the county, because they serve on the board.
Right.
They help make these decisions. And they both have said, we're totally in support of this.
Yeah, they seem to be behind, you know, the lawsuit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Amazing. Which is basically saying I'm behind wasting hundreds of thousands of dollars of taxpayer money every month, every single month. It's amazing. Unbelievable. Read the article. It's at readthehook.com by Dave McNair of The Hook. Fantastic reporting. Dave, of course, the reporter in town who's been on top of this story from the very beginning, just one exclusive after another. It's terrific reporting, Dave. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.